Today's episode, we have a journalist that covers media agencies for Adweek. She's an open book on how to pitch her, and what I found intriguing when I was researching is just the level of detail that she shared online about the do's and don'ts of what she covers and how to pitch her. More on that soon, but without further ado, welcome to the show, Olivia. So let me just read her bio really quick before we get started. Olivia Morley is a senior agencies reporter for Adweek. She focuses on media agencies. Previously, she worked on Forrester's media agencies research and was an editorial strategist for Samsung's Business Insights publication. Olivia holds a BA in English from Boston College and attended the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at CUNY as a visiting student. She's based in Boston and is originally from Salt Lake City. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you so much for having me on, both of you. I'm really excited to chat about this.
Okay, we'll get started. Olivia, you basically did the work that our podcast seeks out to do when you created this document. I'm going to open it up now. Britt, I suggest you do the same. I sent it over to you so you have it handy. Do you want to talk about what inspired you to even create this document and how long this has even existed and why you did it?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So I started the document, gosh, probably about 4 or 5 months ago now. And the reason I did it is because there are so many instances where PR folks will pitch me and I'll find that the topic is almost right. And it's a circumstance where there are so many stories that I could see might work with a little massaging, but I get so many emails that it's so hard to respond to each of those inquiries. And so what I decided to do was make it a little bit easier on folks, because what ends up happening is if I have to pass on a story because it's not exactly right, or if I'm not able to get back to the PR person who's pitching me, oftentimes they'll ask for feedback. And it takes so much time to put together detailed feedback and response to each of the pitches and send them in a way that I think is actually helpful to the person asking for feedback. And so I decided to try and make that a little bit easier on myself and hopefully on everybody who's interested in pitching me a story by putting together a really detailed document that describes about a little bit about me and also in-depth information on what I cover and what I would not cover and why.
Yeah, and I like that. It really does cover nuance. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that a lot of PR folks almost get it right, but then there's just that little bit of massaging. I think this is pretty genius.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think that's right. I think a lot of my peers in the journalism field will say, oh, I get so swamped with all these PR pitches and they're not relevant. It's just kind of like a spray and play approach. And I really rarely get pitches that are not at all relevant. I still sometimes get them, but more often than not, I get pitches that are relevant to my beat because I'm a pretty niche reporter. So you would have to really be, I think, looking for my work and an Adweek reader to pitch me. But so I don't find that I run into the problem that a lot of journalists do. I think it's almost a greater problem when people pitch me and I'm like, I wish I could take this, but I can't because of a few, you know, smaller factors.
That's interesting because we've gotten a lot of guests recently who have that opposite complaint about how much irrelevant stuff they get. So it's kind of refreshing to hear that it's not quite the same for you.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And I think that, as I said before, is the difference between a reporter who is maybe more of a generalist and somebody who, like myself, works for a trade publication where the topics are a little bit more streamlined and focused. So it works to my benefit in the sense that it's very rare that I get pitches that are just totally irrelevant.
Cool.
Have you noticed, or did you notice a change in that trend once you put this pitching guide out there?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's kind of complex because what I found is that I've gone through the process of getting this in front of people. And once people are aware that it exists and once they've read it, then I find the pitches are a little bit more spot on. There are instances still where I'll get pitches where they're nearly a fit. I'm finding that sometimes if a company has a piece of news or something that they really just need to pitch, or maybe they're at a PR agency and somebody above them has sort of directed them to pitch the trades, I can usually tell if it's somebody who I've heard from in the past who I know has read the document, but they're pitching me something that is still irrelevant, if it's something that they're being asked to do versus an idea that they've developed themselves. But in terms of, feature ideas and things like that, absolutely, they've been more strong and more spot on ever since this doc came out.
Cool. Do you share, I haven't had a look yet, but where do you have this doc advertised at, for lack of better words? No pun intended.
Yeah. So it's on all of my social media, pinned at the top. You'll find it in my LinkedIn profile. You'll find it on my Twitter. You'll find it on my website. And then in addition to that, I have an automatic reply set on my Adweek inbox. So whenever anyone sends me anything, they immediately get the response. And I include this doc at the very top, as well as a bunch of other information that will hopefully point folks in the right direction and sort of automate the process and increase the likelihood that they'll find what they're looking for.
I love the automatic email responder, including it in there. That's genius. Like, that totally increases the chances of anyone emailing you to see it. That's so cool. So smart.
That's how I found it.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. Through us, communicating about being on the show. I was like, oh, what's this? And then I open it. Nice. I'm like, perfect. That's great.
Tell us That's more great. About your office hours. Kind of jumping through the guide, you have a Zoom line for PRs.
Yeah, so I actually just recently started these office hours because there was such engagement with this document. Like, I think it was shared so many times on LinkedIn, and I think we got something like 2,000 people liking the post and reading the document. And so that was really great, and I wanted to keep up the momentum, so I decided that I would open up a line every other Friday at noon Eastern, where I basically run it as a Q&A format. It's very casual, so it's been great so far. It's still early stages, but our first session, we had about 25 people join. And the way that I formatted it so far is just kind of like an open forum. So no pitching allowed, no discussion of specific story ideas, but it's an opportunity for anybody who has read the document to join the call and then in a public forum ask specific questions about how to pitch me, Adweek as a company, and our content strategy, and also to discuss story ideas, not pitches, but story ideas in terms of, okay, what's hitting in the ecosystem right now? What are the most interesting stories that have gone live in the last few weeks? And for myself to receive feedback on some of the topics that I've covered to understand if they're resonating with PR and their clients.
I love that. And gosh, 25, that's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, it's a pretty good turnout. And then it's been a little less after that. So we had 25 in the first one, 10 in the second one. And then the last one was just before Memorial Day. And so we just had a couple people, but it was actually really nice to have a smaller group because we got to do introductions and everyone got to sort of talk about their clients and we got to get to know each other. So as part of this office hours, I've also created a Discord. And that's where people can hop in, find the link to the office hours, post questions in advance if anyone maybe doesn't want to speak up during the call and would prefer that I read off questions, and have ongoing discussions about articles there. And so you can find the link to the Discord in the document. I'm trying to make sure everything is connected. And also in my automatic reply, and the community is growing pretty quickly. And I just started the Discord probably about 4 weeks ago, and we've got about 90 people in there. So it's coming along.
I feel dumb asking, but I'm sure there's listeners who also probably have the same question. I've heard of Discord, but I don't really understand what it is. Can you explain to me what Discord is?
Sure. Yeah. So it's basically a Slack competitor. So you have a
Cool.
private channel. It's encrypted. You can join either anonymously or under your real name, and it operates basically just like Slack does. So you can go in there and switch between channels. So within mine right now, I have like a text channel for meetups and events where I have the link to the office hours. And then I'm hoping if there's any industry events that people happen to be going to or learn about, they could drop those in there. And then I have a channel for like story feedback where people could talk about the biggest stories in advertising or on their beat and get feedback from other PR folks on how to pitch. So the one rule that I have is like no pitching me a specific story, but it's totally free game if you want to post a pitch in there and like workshop it with the community, or if it's not my beat, I'm happy to provide feedback as well.
What? So you're building like a real community. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of accidentally, kind of not. A lot of
Yeah.
communities, so I'm part of the study hall community, and it's really similar. It's a Slack community and it's a paid thing. It's like $17 a month. And I find it so helpful. It's really for journalists and freelancers to find new gigs and meet each other and things like that. I love it. I didn't know of one for reporters in PR. And I've worked in PR. So I think that that's kind of part of why I decided to do this. My first job post college was at a PR agency, and I was an account coordinator, and it was so hard. And there were very little resources available to me. And granted, this was several years ago, but like I just remember feeling so lost. And it's really hard sometimes to get a reporter to respond to you and to give you feedback. And it can also be a really competitive environment where, I found sometimes your peers don't want to help you out in the same way that they would in other industries. And so I just noticed a need for some kind of open forum, more open conversation. And that's what I'm hoping that this becomes.
I was going to ask, mention that. I was looking through your LinkedIn, and I didn't realize that you had you were in PR first and then went into journalism. And we love it when that happens and when we can interview folks who come from both backgrounds. I think it gives you an understanding and empathy with the person who's pitching you, and it totally speaks to why you created this doc even more, or this pitching guide even more.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the big reasons why. And I just think, it is a lot of my colleagues or just other journalists in the field sort of have this perception that maybe it is the PR person's job to do independent research and figure out what the reporter wants and would write about. And they're right to think that because it is their job to do that. However, I think it is so much easier to just tell people what you want than to make them guess. Because more often than not, when you tell somebody what you're looking for, they're more than willing to help because it's in both of our best interests. And I think that sometimes that's just lost on reporters, but I don't think it's like they're trying to be mean or anything like that. I just think we're all busy. And so sometimes it can be hard for a reporter to be like, oh, I need to make the time to have these conversations. So that's kind of the point of the Discord, is like getting everyone together and making it a public forum to make that a little bit easier and save some time.
It's actually re kind of re is recalling of to how I even found you to begin with, Olivia. That's not totally true. I've seen you around Twitter actually, because you tweet quite a bit, and I've seen you. But what prompted me to reach out to you is you were at a conference in LA recently, and you tweeted out that you would be available to have coffee. So I'm curious if you, especially in light of knowing that you've got this Discord and that you have open office hours. Do you often meet with publicists in person, or is that like kind of a rarity? I think you're located, are you located in, I'm guessing Boston based off of
That's right.
Massachusetts?
That's right.
Oh,
Yes.
awesome. Okay, cool. I'm proud of myself for guessing correctly. Anyway,
Yes.
continue on.
I do. I meet with PR folks and clients and industry people in person whenever I have the chance. So I think, especially when I'm visiting somewhere new, so LA and New York, I make it a point to have a full meeting calendar. And sometimes I regret it when I'm in the moment. So I like show up, like this happened to me. I was in LA, you know, like as you mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I had a meeting scheduled with someone, and then my flight was delayed, and then I got to the rental car place and the rental car was delayed. And then it's like, you know, if you're late to one meeting, it's a domino effect. And so it can be a bit challenging, but I always try to schedule as many as possible to just make the most of my time out there. Because, you know, it's so rare that I get to travel to LA. In fact, I've actually never traveled to LA for Ad Week before. This was the first time. Yeah. So, you know, there's a great creative community out there. There are people out there that I've never spoken with who inevitably have great perspective and story ideas and could help me understand certain things about how that market works. And so, yeah, I try to add as many to my calendar as possible. And, you know, sometimes I'll meet like when I'm in New York with my friendlies or people that I've had drinks with before and things like that. But more often than not, it's people I've never met in person. And I'll just tweet out, you know, hey, I'm going to be here. Does anyone want to meet up? And I've met so many people I've only been in Adweek like a little over a year and a half. And I've met so many people by doing that. And it's been so helpful for me.
That's so cool. So then like, what is the best way to keep that time productive? Like if I'm a publicist and let's say we're in the same town and I want to spend like 30 minutes with you at a coffee shop, how should I show up and be professional and friendly at the same time? Like, how do you like to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I keep everything I do really casual, but I would say the best thing to do is maybe prep by reading a few of my stories in advance, maybe the stories that I've written in the last month, and then maybe make a list of things that you found interesting or not so interesting, things that resonated with you that did not resonate with you. I always love feedback. So, you know, especially from PR folks who read the trades, who read our competitors and us, I really love it when people can read my work and say, hey, this was great, but you missed this angle. And even better if they're like, I have a client who can help you hit that angle. And that's really how to, I think, succeed with pitching me most of the time, because that's how I do my own story planning in my head. Cool. Like, you know, when I first started this, as you mentioned previously, I wasn't always a journalist, and I had been in PR and I'd been in marketing. And the way that I did it, when I started freelancing, I ended up placing a story in Digiday, my very first freelance article in one of these trades. And I made this huge spreadsheet of like all the headlines that they had done for like the last 6 months. And then I categorized them into buckets. And then I just read the competing pubs and I was like, what angle is missing here? And that worked for me. It's worked for me that week. Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, like a content gap analysis, really. And that is, I can tell usually when folks on the PR side have employed that strategy or a similar strategy, just sort of like studying the content and telling me what I'm missing, because I find that very helpful.
That's really cool. Does that happen whenever you meet up for coffee? Like, I know that's ideally you want people to give feedback and do all that. It does?
It does. Yeah. I always make it a point to ask. Yeah. So usually, you know, they'll ask me questions about my coverage and what's important at Adweek right now, who covers what, try and get an idea of how the newsroom is structured right now and why, and what's behind some of the content strategy moves we've been making. And then in addition to that, usually toward the end of the conversation, I'll ask feedback on how Adweek is doing and sort of open up that conversation. And it's often that people have great feedback and even questions that I can help answer. So, for example, one of the recent questions that I've been getting, because we've had some changes internally, is like, at Adweek, where do I pitch creative campaigns now? And what creative campaigns fly? And, you know, is it intentional that you're covering fewer creative campaigns? And so I'm able to answer questions like that and hopefully give people more clarity about why we're doing certain things and then send them to the right people.
You're talking about how you kind of discover that like gap analysis and publicists kind of giving feedback and that can inspire future stories. So your document goes over what you would cover and what you wouldn't cover. So rather than going through the whole list, if I were to ask you off the top of your head, what are like maybe the top three types of stories you're hoping to cover in the next few months, what would you say? Like, what are you looking for right now in terms of pitches?
Yeah, I'm always interested in organizational structure within ad agencies and holding companies. And it sounds niche, but I think that the biggest trend in trade reporting right now, at least specific to the advertising ecosystem, is consolidation and M&A. And so we're seeing and have been seeing really for the past 5 years, a lot of these holding companies combining agencies. So for example, you have VMLY&R, and it's become just like this series of acronyms. You have Essence and MediaCom, which used to be Essence and MediaCom, and now they've come together. And there's so much to that. I mean, I think, you know, holding companies just used to be such, and they still are really such sprawling entities. And that can be really confusing for marketers when they're sitting in reviews or pitches and the holding company comes and they're like, okay, like, here's what we're going to propose. And, you know, here's agency XYZ and here's, you know, their competitor. And it's just really hard for the marketer to differentiate between sister agencies. So this consolidation is fascinating because it's the holding company's attempt at making things more streamlined, more simple. But then there are so many complications that happen behind the scenes. I mean, no merger is easy. And the holding company is kind of in a position, I think, where it needs to make it look easy in order to retain existing client relationships. So mergers and acquisitions are of interest to me. Organizational changes are of interest. And then, you know, to sort of compound on that, different ways to pitch clients. And so in my beat, it's really common for agencies to put together like special custom teams for their clients or to go sit with their clients in person in the office or to have different kinds of technology and solutions to tear down silos. And all of that in my mind is part of the sort of larger trend of like consolidating, streamlining, making things easier. So any story that anyone has about how an agency is doing that effectively or how a client is asking an agency to do that more effectively would definitely be something I'm interested in.
What about the flip side? What do you not cover? You don't have to name everything, but what is the most common?
So, you know, it's kind of tough because this is something that I covered last year quite often, but since we've had some staffing changes internally, and as my own beat has started to grow and evolve, I am covering almost no news stories that mention partnerships, rebrands, you know, smaller agency news that I think would be interesting and is sort of reflective of a larger trend. I would have covered it last year because the way I think about my coverage is like, you know, what smaller trends what evidence can I find of things going on in the ecosystem that support a larger hypothesis that I have about what's going on? So typically what that would look like are these smaller news stories, you know, so-and-so partnered with this ad tech vendor or this company. And then I'd write about that and try to make sense of it and put it in context. And then I would simultaneously work on larger feature stories that talked about a larger industry trend. So, for example, we've seen 10 of these companies partner with vendors in this ecosystem. What does that tell us about what marketers care about right now? And I, at this point, given the changes in my coverage and our staffing situation, have been focused more on those big feature stories that have many voices then I've been focused on the smaller partnership focused stories.
And this is due to my lack of knowledge in this industry, but what are the job titles or what kind of publicist frequently pitch you?
I would say it's frequently in-house agency PR. So for example, it might be an internal comms director at a holding company, so WPP or any of its subsidiaries like Group M or, you know, like I said, they're such sprawling organizations. And oftentimes
each individual agency has a comms director as well as the parent company. And so any of them could pitch me. And then also folks at PR agencies who have clients, oftentimes their clients are CMOs, for example. And the CMOs work closely with media agencies or creative agencies to put together marketing strategies and things like that. So I often find I get outreach from PR agencies who just have clients that would be a good fit to provide commentary or give context on any of the things that I cover.
I should have asked that in the beginning. That's really helpful to know.
For sure.
Cool. All right. Shall we go into shout outs?
Yeah, let's do it. I think that was a good segue, Britt, because,
you know,
that's relevant.
Unintentional.
Yeah. Olivia, this is our favorite part of the show. If you need a minute to gather them, it's okay. We can always edit out any pauses. But typically at the end, we like to give a shout out to a publicist or maybe multiple publicists. It's really up to the guest on somebody that they believe is a good collaborator that they've worked with in the past or maybe even work with regularly that they just enjoy the way that they work.
Yeah. I have several good ones.
Yay.
So first I'll say Lindsay Bennett at Gale. She is fantastic. So Gale is a Stagwell subsidiary agency. Lindsay has been at numerous in-house agency positions. She used to be comms for an agency within the Omnicom network and recently moved to Stagwell, where now she's at Gale, which was one of our Media Agency of the Year winners this past year. And Lindsay is just phenomenal. She really gets it. She gets our coverage. She's very communicative in a way that is helpful. You know, she will call me directly, and she also understands what's not a fit. So she's definitely somebody who I think is really one to watch in this beat specifically. Isabel Gauvry at Omnicom Media Group is a PR legend. She's been doing this a long time, and she's very good at it. She's one of my favorite people to work with in this industry. I would also say there are a number of independent consultants that, you know, sometimes folks will reach out to me and be like, I'm looking for a PR consultant in the industry. Who would you recommend? And there are a number of folks that I always send their way. One of them is Dan Prince, and he's done PR as a consultant for Horizon Media. It's the largest independent media agency in the U.S., and a number of other clients, and we have a great relationship. We're always in touch, and he's a great one. And then also Hank Kim, who works for Cross Media, another independent that I've done several stories on and really love working with Hank. So those are a few off the top of my head. I could keep going if you want.
I mean, that's pretty good. That's cool that they're just like top of mind. They're going to feel really happy when they hear that. So we tend to reach out before the episode publishes. Yeah. And kind of at the heart of why we do this really at the end of the day is, and especially, you know, it can be like a pretty thankless job over here on the PR side. So we really do appreciate people like you who are in media, who especially have seen the other side, and you know firsthand what some of the challenges are. It's really nice to be recognized. So thank you for taking the time to do that.
Of course. And thank you so much for having me on. This has really been a great conversation.